A blue line passes along the bottom of a black screen. The line contracts to form a circle behind a streak of lightning. Touchstone Pictures. A calm stretch of rippling water is reflected in the lens at the end of a telescope. A man stands on the water's edge and looks through the telescope, then darkens to a silhouette. The image shrinks to a smaller box against a black background. Spyglass Entertainment. Chinese calligraphy symbols glow fiery orange against a black background. The symbols meld in and out of each other as though refracted in a diamond. White letters appear. Touchstone Pictures and Spyglass Entertainment present a Birnbaum Barber production. In association with a Jackie Chan Films Limited production, a David Dobkin film. Jackie Chan, Owen Wilson. Shafts of orange light glint against a large circular design containing runic-style symbols. The film's title appears, glinting like gold. Shanghai Nights. Chinese symbols decorate the edge of an intricately carved metal stamper. The stamper is pressed down onto a sheet of yellowish paper and then removed to reveal the circular runic symbol stamped onto the paper in red ink. More titles. Donnie Yen, Aidan Gillen, Fan Wong, Tom Fisher, Kim Chan, Gemma Jones, Erin Johnson. Casting by Donna Morong, CSA. UK casting by Priscilla John, CDG. A young Chinese woman with long straight hair lights a candle within a lantern. Costume designer Anna Shepherd. Music by Randy Edelman. Edited by Malcolm Campbell. Production designer Alan Cameron. Director of photography Adrian Biddle, BSc. The young woman holds the lantern in front of her as she walks along a snow-covered pathway lit by flaming torches. She comes to a flight of stone steps which lead up to a set of double doors. Executive producers Jackie Chan, Willie Chan, Solon So. Executive producers Stephanie Austin, Edward McDonnell. A large rectangular courtyard stands within a complex of low single-story buildings. A caption reads, Forbidden City, China, 1887. The young woman walks through a large room decorated with Oriental-style lattices. Produced by Roger Birnbaum, Gary Barber and Jonathan Glickman. Written by Alfred Goff and Miles Millar. Directed by David Dobkin. An old Chinese man wearing a Mandarin robe kneels before a casket and carefully wipes a large cut diamond which is set into the golden stamper. The young woman surreptitiously watches him. His back still to the young woman, the old man says, "You are not permitted to gaze at the imperial seal." Chun Lin, the young woman, quickly lowers her head as the old man closes the casket, which is adorned by a carved dragon on the lid. He turns a key with a dragon design on the head, locking the casket, and then hangs the key around his neck. Later, Chun Lin and the old man sit together drinking tea. Chun Lin seems nervous as she says, "I received a letter from brother. He's doing well in America." She takes a letter out of an envelope along with a photo of a smiling, middle-aged Chinese man. She slides the photo towards the old man and says, "He sends his love, father." The old man glances down at the photo through his pebble glasses and says, "Your brother is dead to me." Chun Lin lowers her head sadly. Outside, four guards stand to attention in front of the double doors. Two ropes spiral down behind the guards closest to the doors, lasso them around the neck and yank them up into the air. The other two guards are shot in the chest by crossbow bolts and collapse to the ground. One of the guards looks up as a lean-faced Oriental man stares down at him and produces a large curved sword.
Boxers!
The lean-faced man swings the sword towards the guard's neck. The double doors open and several members of the Boxer Society sneak into the building, along with a tall, dark-haired Western man who wears a dark tunic and long black cape. The boxers stalk around the red-curtained rooms with their swords at the ready, while the dark-haired man strides through the building. He glances through a lattice partition to see the old man's still-steaming teapot on the abandoned table. The dark-haired man glances to his right and spots the golden casket containing the diamond. The casket glints blue as he approaches it and kneels down. Suddenly, the tip of a long, thin sword appears at his throat. He slowly stands and looks at the old man who holds the sword by the handle.
Not one step further.
The keeper of the Imperial Seal. Just the man I was looking for.
Chun Lin kicks a crossbow out of the hands of one of the boxers.
A woman. You Chinese are very progressive.
Another boxer draws a sword and lunges at Chun Lin. She parries the attack with her foot and kicks him in the head. Two more boxers converge. She ducks their slashing swords and knocks one of them cold. The other kicks her in the shoulder, knocking her to the floor. She jumps up, grabs his arm, and uses his sword to fend off another boxer, whom she then kicks over. The old man still holds his sword to the throat of the smirking Englishman. A boxer knocks Chun Lin to the floor and the old man turns to look. The Englishman grabs his arm, forcing him to drop the sword, then produces a wavy-bladed dagger and plunges it into the old man's stomach.
A gift from an old friend.
Wu Chao.
He wanted me to send his regards.
The Englishman pulls the dagger out of the old man's stomach and yanks the key from his neck as he falls. A boxer lunges at Chun Lin, who ducks, causing him to embed his sword into a pillar. She kicks him in the head, then uses the embedded sword as a springboard as she somersaults across the room, kicks a boxer in the face, and crouches by the old man. Two boxers pull her back and hold her as the sneering Englishman performs a roundhouse and kicks her hard in the stomach, sending her crashing through a lattice partition. Chun Lin skids across the floor and loses consciousness. The Englishman slides the dragon-headed key into the lock of the casket and opens the lid. Flickers of light fall across his face from the reflection of the sparkling diamond. Chun Lin slowly begins to move her head as the Englishman and the boxers stride out of the building. She suddenly opens her eyes, jumps up and runs across to the mortally wounded old man. She takes his hand pleadingly.
This you. You must get it back.
I promise.
Give this to your brother.
From the pocket of his robe, the old man takes a wooden box with a jumbled tiled picture on the lid. Chun Lin takes the box from the old man's hand and his head lolls lifelessly to one side. Chun Lin kneels beside her dead father. Horses and wagons head along the main street of Carson City, Nevada. In the jailhouse, Chun Wang, the man from the photo, stamps arrested onto a wanted poster, which hangs among hundreds of other posters that all say arrested. He wears a sheriff's badge and turns to his deputy.
What are you reading?
The deputy holds up a book.
Roy O'Bannon versus the mummy.
It's incredible. Roy's just taken out the mummy's entire army of zombie Confederate soldiers, and he only had one bullet.
That's impossible.
Oh, no, it's not. Oh, I see.
Roy figured out the physics of the canyon and then ricocheted a bullet off the canyon wall, nailed each zombie through the heart.
What about the Shanghai kid?
Oh, he was captured and knocked out in Pigstein while he was polishing Roy's pearl handles. Don't you worry. Roy is about to save him from becoming a human sacrifice.
Those stories are all lies.
No, see? It says right here on the back. Author Sage McAllister bases all his stories on first-hand accounts.
Chun shakes his head with an unimpressed smile. He glances out of the door and starts when he sees a stagecoach draw up the street. He strides up to a mirror by the door, straightens his long black hair, and adjusts his wide-brimmed Stetson. The young deputy follows Chun out of the jailhouse and down the street. Chun looks into the stagecoach and the driver walks up to him.
Sorry, Sheriff. No princess.
Chun smiles good-naturedly and the driver closes the door.
Every day you meet the main stage, and every day it's the same story. She's not coming back.
Pepe's married to her work in San Francisco. More than women.
Sheriff, you got a purse?
Hey, maybe it's from her.
No, it's from my sister in China.
Chun undoes the brown paper wrapping to reveal a plain wooden box. He opens the box and takes out a card with a couple of Chinese symbols on it. Behind the card is the dark wooden box with the jumbled picture on the lid. Chun stares off into space and closes his eyes as though in pain. Evening's falling as Chun stands on top of a high mountain peak, which stands among a snow-capped mountain range. He stares solemnly into the flames of a pyre which blazes in front of him. He slowly lowers his gaze and stares at a faded old photograph of him as a young boy standing beside his smiling father. Chun gazes back at the fire. Next morning, Chun strolls out of the jailhouse and walks up to his brown and white horse, who sits like a dog beside the wooden tethering bar.
Fido.
He takes hold of Fido's reins and Fido licks his face like a dog.
Fido, I must go stay here and be a good horsey for the new sheriff.
Chun hands his gun and sheriff's badge to the deputy. They shake hands.
Sheriff,
That stage is headed east. Isn't China kind of west of here?
I'm not going to China. I'm going to New York. Roy invested my money.
Is it true that he lives in a penthouse at the top of the Ritz, surrounded by dozens of beautiful women at his every beck and call?
That's the old Roy. He's married. Settle down. Trust me. He's changed.
In a hotel.
So there we were, completely outnumbered. You didn't have to tell me. We didn't stand a chance. So I send the Shanghai kid and the princess out the back. Poor Shanghai kid. He was so frightened. He forgot to thank me for saving his life. I'm used to that. Now, I return to the front, and I counted to three, and I burst out of the mission. Pearl handles blazing, lead flying everywhere, and not a single bullet touched me.
Young women surround Roy.
What happened to the Emperor's gold?
Well, we divided it up. I insisted on giving my share to the Indians, of course.
The savages?
Please don't ever call those noble people savages. If being proud of your body and wanting to ride around naked all day makes you a savage, then by God, you're drinking with a savage.
Chan strolls through a set of revolving doors into the lobby. He gapes at the plush decor as a few of the sophisticated guests look at him and pass comment among themselves. Back at his table, Roy and two of the women sip champagne from the same glass.
And that is what you call a French toast.
You're so sophisticated, Mr. Bowery.
They drop their room keys between his legs.
Who's up for some more bubbly?
Blonde-haired Roy stands and grins. He wears a white tailcoat and a black bow tie and trousers. John appears in the doorway and spots Roy at the bar. He sneaks up behind him and pokes him in the back with his finger.
Reach for the sky, Roy.
Roy frowns.
Say that again?
Reach for the sky, Roy.
John Wayne! Ugh. You sly son of a gun! Look at you!
Look at you!
What brings you to New York?
My share of the gold.
Refresh my memory. What gold are we talking about?
The Emperor's gold.
Okay, now that gold is in what the Wall Street pros call a long-term investment. We can't touch it right now because it's building.
I need it tonight.
You just got here. Let's celebrate a little bit. Hey.
No, I don't have time.
You just got to the big city.
My father's been killed.
Roy stares at him, then glances down and shakes his head solemnly.
John, you need the money to get back for the funeral?
No, I must go to England. The ship leaves tonight.
Wait, your father died in England?
China. My sister followed the murderer to London.
Wait, murderer? I'm a little bit mixed up. Let me see if I can get the facts straight. You have a sister? You never told me you had a sister. Is she pretty or does she look like you, John? Be honest.
Roy, I need my money.
I don't like that tone of voice. You think after all we've been through, I'd stiff you? In case you hadn't noticed, I'm doing pretty well for myself.
Yeah. He indicates his clothes.
Sorry, Roy.
That's okay. Going through a really tough time right now. You gotta be more trusting of people, okay? Look at me.
It's Roy.
The couple at table 5 is ready to order.
The head waiter walks off. The waiters all wear tailcoats like Roy's.
Do you work here?
No, I don't work here. I mean, it looks like these guys are wearing a similar jacket.
Roy, you should cut the tips.
A waiter drops some change into Roy's hand. John frowns and Roy looks awkward.
It's the craziest thing, I guess. I guess because I come in here so much, they're mistaking me for a waiter. It's embarrassing.
You lost the gold.
Roy looks down.
Not all of it.
What's the rest?
I have one word for you. Zeppelin.
I need my money now!
Easy, easy.
Roy glances at the women at his table.
Will you do anything for this money?
Yes, I must leave tonight.
Okay, take this key. Go to the room, get cleaned up. Your old pal Roy's got a plan. No! Come on!
Later, Chan sits in a bathtub in one of the hotel rooms. He pinches his nose and submerges his head, then lifts his head back out of the water and opens his eyes. He gapes when he sees one of the young women leaning seductively on the doorframe, wearing a corset and frilly underwear.
Howdy, big boy.
Chan looks flustered as he rushes out of the room and into the corridor with a towel wrapped around his waist. He smiles at a couple of startled guests and knocks at another door, which is opened by Roy in a bathrobe.
There's a woman in there. She wants me to sleep with her.
Of course she does. I told her the Great Wall ain't the only big thing coming out of China.
Why did you say that?
So you could get the money.
I would not sleep with women for money.
Why? I'm gonna sleep with her for money.
Another of the women.
John, just go in there and do your business and think about your sister in England.
What?
Roy!
Duty calls.
Roy!
Roy slams the door. A bald-headed man flanked by policemen strides up to reception.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor.
Where are they?
Who?
Cops grab the desk clerk.
My daughter's.
10th floor.
The mayor and cop stride off. The clerk adjusts his tie and behind him a cigarette girl winds a handle on a telephone.
Roy? Roy, you got trouble.
Roy!
I just gotta check on something. I'll be right back.
Chun lies on his back, bouncing a girl on his feet.
John, new plan. We gotta go. John, what are you doing?
I'm fixing her back.
Put her down, you decadent Philistine.
The girl drops on top of Chun.
John, come on, let's go.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Come on.
Chun and Roy rush off down the corridor.
I don't understand. What's going on?
I don't have time to explain. All you have to know is there are bad men after us, but I'm in the right.
Roy.
John, come on. You gotta trust me on this one. Okay, look, I'm kind of in a transitional phase of my life right now, but...
But what?
Roy looks awkward.
You want to know the truth? I'm a little lost right now. I see you, you've got a sense of purpose, but look at me. I'm a 30-year-old waiter gigolo. Where's the future in that?
John stares seriously at Roy, who looks down and shakes his head sadly.
So what's the plan?
You are always my compass, John. The plan. You ask me the right questions. The plan? The plan, I think, is to find the right woman, raise a lot of children, and teach them values.
No, Roy. The plan to get out of here.
Okay, the plan. Here we go.
They run off down the corridor as behind them, the mayor and cop stride out of an elevator and march off in the other direction. In the lobby, Roy freezes when he sees a bunch of cops and pulls Chun behind a potted plant.
Cops, cops.
They can help us.
No, John, John. Not these cops. These are dirty cops. They take advantage of people. Now, if they stop us, remember, I'm not Roy O'Bannon.
Who are you?
I'm your friend, Smokey Desperado from the West.
And who am I?
You, you're Benihana.
Benihana?
Yeah, you teach crippled children yoga here in the city. Okay, you go first.
No! Why me?
Because you blend in, okay? Now go! Don't let him see you!
Chun turns back and points to himself.
Benihana.
Roy gives him the thumbs up and Chun sneaks through the lobby holding his Stetson up near his face. He watches the cops milling around in the lobby and almost trips over as he makes his way to the main revolving doors. Chun comes out of the hotel and bolts back in when he sees a cop waiting outside.
Hey! Hey!
The cop chases Chun and waits outside the spinning doors. Two cops at the desk turn to look at Chun, who heads back into the revolving doors, but jumps back out when he sees the cop outside. One of the cops at the desk runs at Chun and tries to hit him with his truncheon, but Chun shoves him through the spinning doors. Now outside, Chun defends himself from another cop and jumps back into the doors, pulling the cop with him. He lets go of the cop's truncheon, which springs back and smacks a third cop in the face. Chun grabs the cop, binds his wrists with his truncheon strap and uses the truncheon to wedge him onto the handrail of the doors. Chun jumps over a luggage trolley and takes cover behind it as he jumps back into the spinning doors. He grabs a cop and yanks him onto the trolley, sending luggage tumbling onto the street. Chun grabs the cop's helmet and quickly puts it on for protection as another cop cracks him on the head with his truncheon. Chun kicks the cop in the stomach and binds him to the trolley with his truncheon strap. Chun grabs his coat, puts his Stetson back on, and plonks the helmet back on the dazed cop. He strolls onto the street where Roy's hiding behind a pile of luggage.
Psst, John! Come on, stop wasting time!
Chun marches down the hotel steps and points accusingly at Roy.
You!
John, I found our ticket out of here!
A trunk's on the back of a cart.
We're on our way! Looks like old Roy came through again, just like old times, John.
The horse-drawn cart trundles off as cops flood out of the hotel. In the hold of a ship, the trunk's open from the inside by Roy and Chun.
Yeah, just like old times.
Tell me, you forget about the gold for a second, you're gonna have more money than you ever dreamed of when that first Zeppelin takes off.
Why do I always believe you?
Chun gets out of the trunk.
Hey, John, you're lucky I didn't invest in that ridiculous automobile idea. Yeah, that's gonna make a lot of money.
A large steamship gently glides away from the New York coastline. Chun's up on deck, leaning on a railing. He holds the dark wooden box in his hands and slides the small tiles around on the lid, trying to solve the picture puzzle. Roy, still wearing his black trousers and white tailcoat, strolls onto the deck behind Chun. He walks over to him, holding his hands on top of his head like a roof.
What's that?
Doghouse. I'm in the doghouse.
Chun looks away.
Oh, come on, John. Look, I'm sorry I lied. I just didn't want to disappoint you.
Chun looks at him sternly.
That's exactly what I mean. I can't take that look.
I learned it from my father. That's how he used to look at me.
He smiles.
So, well, what did your dad do? Was he an Imperial Guard?
No. Much more important. He was the keeper of the Imperial Seal.
That's what I love about China. Everybody's job description sounds so damn cool.
The seal has been symbol of the emperor's power since Genghis Khan. It has been passed down from one emperor to another. My family have been watching over it for 12 generations.
12 generations?
My father and I used to skip stones across the moat and talk about a day. I would follow his footsteps.
He shakes his head.
I was his only son. If I have been there, I could have protected him.
It's not your fault. You're 3,000 miles away.
John lowers his head and Roy notices the box.
What's with that little box?
My sister sent it to me from my father. There's a message inside.
What's it say?
It's a puzzle box. I don't know how to open yet.
What do you mean you don't know how to open it? Get a hammer and smash it open so you can see what it says.
I must have patience. By the time I'm able to open it, I'll be ready to read the message.
Come on, Confucius. That's the corniest thing I've ever heard.
John looks at Roy with a smile.
Let me see this.
Roy takes the box and slides some of the tiles around.
You know what? We're gonna go to England. We're gonna find your dad's killer and we're gonna get that seal back.
There's no reward for this, Roy.
Who said anything about a reward? I'm talking about friendship, loyalty, honor. Okay?
John grins.
Thank you, Roy.
Roy nods and stares out to sea.
And I hear England is ass soup. A lot of pretty girls there.
John looks disapprovingly at Roy. An aerial view of the Houses of Parliament. A caption reads, London. In the vast, ornate chamber of the House of Lords, the Lord Chancellor calls the House to order.
First order of business, my lords, is a report from our esteemed friend, Lord Rathbone, who recently returned from a diplomatic mission to China.
The assembled lords applaud as a lean, dark-haired figure stands, adjusts his collar, and makes his way down to the centre of the chamber. It's the Englishman who killed Chun Wang's father.
Fellow lords, I'm afraid I bring disturbing news from the Orient. The opium wars have ravaged the land and the Emperor's enemies are organizing. The most vicious are the Boxers, a godless band of rebels who murder without discretion. China is not well.
The lords mutter to each other.
I have brought back an envoy who should give us some insight into the inscrutable mind of the Chinese.
A set of doors are opened and two footmen wheel in a large cage containing a live tiger.
Given to Her Majesty Queen Victoria by the Emperor in recognition of her 50 glorious years on the throne.
The tiger snarls and the lords look on in consternation.
Long live the Queen.
The tiger claws the air with its paw and snarls viciously. Chon and Roy saunter out of Charing Cross Railway Station. Chon is dressed the same, but Roy now wears a black Western-style suit and black Stetson. Chon looks around at the scenery and gasps as he and Roy walk down a crowded street. Horse-drawn carriages trundle this way and that along the road. Chon nods at a passerby.
Howdy, partner.
He ignores Chon.
The English are not very friendly.
Oh, they're just sore losers.
What did they lose?
Little thing called the American Revolution, John.
Never heard of it.
I'll give you the highlights. They came over with about a million men. We had a bunch of farmers with pitchforks and beat them like a drum.
John pulls Roy back as a carriage thunders by.
Hey, I'm walking here. You're driving on the wrong side of the road. Bunch of amateurs. People don't get it.
Hello, ladies.
Roy tips his hat to a group of young women.
Look at you.
What? Am I supposed to notice a pretty lady?
I thought you wanted to settle down and have a family.
I do, John. I just hope I can.
Why not?
Sometimes I worry that all the damn horseback riding I did out in the West, bouncing up and down on the hard saddles, might have made it so my salmon don't swim upstream the way they're supposed to.
John frowns.
What?
No, I might be shooting blanks.
Oh.
Don't say anything.
Roy, it's okay. Some people are not meant to have a family.
Why is that such a special connection with children? Little ankle biters. Hey! Watch it, you little punk!
Oh, make ya.
A boy of about 12 barges between them and turns back thoughtfully.
You Mary Jane's lost your way?
Yeah. We're looking for my sister. She's staying at 32 Oxford Street.
Oh, I know it will, Gov. The old man used to live there.
Can you show us a way?
Well, memory's a little dodgy. But I'm sure Father Bob I could get you there.
What do you take us for, kid? A couple of Okies from Muskogee? Go on, go sell your bullshit someplace else. We're not buying.
Thanks for the tip, Gav.
Hey, I stole that watch from my uncle!
The boy holds up a gold pocket watch and charges off as Roy and Chon race after him. They follow him through a crowd of people and up a flight of stone steps. The long-haired boy hares through an alleyway into a dingy back street and runs off through a crowd of people milling around outside a pub. Roy and Chon come through the alleyway and Roy looks around.
This way!
They follow the boy, who suddenly gets collared by two mean-looking thugs.
Come here, you little rubbish eater! What did I tell you about punching on our turf, Charlie?
I'm on the straight and narrow, honest!
The chief thug frisks Charlie and finds the gold pocket watch. He holds it up.
What's this then? After I'm through beating you, you're gonna wish you never ran away from the workhouse.
Leave the boy alone.
Chon and Roy.
Bloody tourists. Get your noses out of it. Guys, do whatever you want to the kid, but that's my watch you're holding.
Well, there's a load of us. And only two of you. So piss off!
Easy, fellas. You've lost one war this way. Don't make the same mistake twice.
Charlie grabs the watch, knees the chief thug in the groin and races off. Roy runs after Charlie and two more thugs try and follow, but Chon pulls them back. The thugs grab Chon, but he slips out of his coat. The chief thug whistles his men and Chon runs off.
Come on! Adrian!
A bystander picks up Chon's discarded coat. Charlie tears through a market area with Roy running after him. Nearby, Chon runs between some stalls and comes to another stall that blocks his way as the thugs converge on him. One of the thugs runs at Chon, but he pulls two stalls together, trapping the thug between them. Chon somersaults over a fruit stall and some thugs grab him, slamming his head down into some lemons. Chon squeezes the lemons, spraying the thugs with juice. He breaks free and points a lemon at a thug who covers his eyes. The thug peeps at him and Chon squirts him in the eye. A thug kicks Chon against the door and a bunch of them converge on him, raining punches. They pause and Chon runs off. He runs up a plank that's propped on a wooden support. It tips over like a seesaw and flips across Chon's back. The plank props itself against a pillar and Chon scrambles up it onto a tarpaulin roof. He runs across the top of a wall beside the tarpaulin roof as two thugs climb up and attack him. Chon trips one of the thugs who falls onto the tarpaulin and kicks the other one, causing them both to overbalance. They fall onto the tarpaulin, catapulting the other thug off. The remaining thug brandishes his knife, but Chon grabs his wrist and thrusts his hand down, causing him to cut the tarpaulin and fall through it. Another thug climbs onto the tarpaulin, but Chon bounces onto it, catapulting the thug over the wall. Charlie runs through the market, still pursued by Roy. Charlie ducks under a flower stall and Roy stops when he notices the pretty young flower seller who smiles at him. Roy smiles back, and the flower seller grins to reveal a row of horrible black teeth. Roy recoils. Nearby, Chon slides down to earth on a large bundle which is attached to a pulley. He undoes the rope and is yanked back up by another bundle which acts as a counterweight. A man attacks Chon, but he grabs a ladder and presses him against a wall. The man knocks Chon over at the top of a staircase and Chon shoves him forward. The man clings onto the ladder, which rests on the banisters, and slides him down the stairs, landing him heavily on his bum. Chon jumps onto a high stack of wooden crates which topple forward and throw him into a propped-up coffin. Chon steps out nervously and holds his hands in the prayer position. In the market, Roy grabs a young boy and studies his face before letting him go. Charlie hides in a wooden box and lifts up the lid. Chon's at an umbrella stand as two thugs approach with knives. Chon grabs two brollies and traps one of the thug's wrists in the curved handles. He spins the thug into another thug, then hooks the handles around their necks and flips them to the ground. Charlie watches in awe. Chon flicks brollies off the stall and into the faces of the approaching thugs. A thug lunges at Chon with a knife, but Chon parries him with the brolly, kicks the knife out of his hand and flips him over his back. Another thug grabs a bucket and throws dust at Chon, but Chon protects himself with the brolly. The chief thug points at Chon and screams to his men.
Move it!
Charlie ducks back into the box as Chon jumps up onto a row of crates and dances to avoid the thug's thrusting knives. He kicks a thug in the face, backheels a crate into another thug and hits him with the brolly. Two Two thugs approach John, but he keeps them at bay with his opened umbrella and runs up a stack of crates. He runs back down the crates and flips a smaller crate up with his heels, causing a thug to embed his knife into it. The thug tries to grab for his knife, but John crushes his hand with the crate. John does a cartwheel over a stall, grabs his brolly, and points to the bystander who wears his coat and hat.
You!
John yanks the coat off the bystander and onto himself at the same time. The bystander makes to run, but Roy holds out his arm, catching him in the throat and flipping him over. Roy catches the Stetson and holds it out to John.
You see that? He's okay.
Okay? I call that one my Kung Pao chicken. I clothesline the sucker.
They both look up as two squads of uniformed policemen run over, trapping them in the middle.
Make way!
A tall, thin man wearing a green jacket and grey bowler hat walks through the constables and gapes in amazement at the dazed thugs, who slowly try to get to their feet. He turns to Roy and John.
I think you gentlemen should accompany me back to the yard.
This isn't a yard! It's a jail!
Roy, calm down.
They're in a cell.
Unbelievable.
Roy sits down heavily on his bunk.
Wait, someone's coming.
Let me handle this.
I'm gonna handle it, okay? The English aren't like you. They don't get all emotional, touchy-feely. Do me a favor. Park the kung fu. Let me do the talking.
The tall, thin man comes in.
Come here. Let me give you a hug.
He hugs them tightly. Roy and Chun look confused.
I've been after that Fleet Street gang for 2 years. Then you two come along and bring them down in a single afternoon. Brilliant. Now,
Oh, that's my watch.
Yes, a street urchin turned it in.
A little punk better not have scuffed it.
I do hope your luck picks up.
What do you mean, my luck?
Well, I deduced from your watch that you'd hit rather a rough patch.
He has. How do you know?
It's an investigative technique I've developed. I can deduce intimate details about an individual through a close scrutiny of their personal effects.
What else can you tell?
John gives him back the watch.
The owner of this watch is a bad gambler and a lousy shot. Although he's cheated death several times, he spends most of his life wandering in a rather pathetic and futile search for purpose and respect. Oh, yes. He has a penchant for loose women.
Wow. That's amazing. I'm sure it's a very popular party trick at birthdays for small children, but it doesn't quite play with adults. And just to set the record straight, Roy O'Bannon is not attracted to loose women. Loose women are attracted to me.
You're Roy O'Bannon?
Yeah.
The famous Western folk hero?
Have you heard of me?
Have I heard of you? I've only read Roy O'Bannon versus the Mummy 5 times. It's fascinating.
Hey, why don't you meet the Shanghai Kid?
Ah, yes. The faithful Chinese sidekick.
I'm not a sidekick. Those stories are all lies.
Hey, come on, don't be bitter. I can't help what Sage McAllister writes.
If there's anything I can do, I'm at your service.
We're looking for my sister.
She's staying this address. Can you take us there?
Oh, dear. I think you'd better come with me.
Artie Doyle, the tall, thin detective, unlocks another cell and follows Chon and Roy inside. They don't see Chon's sister up in the ceiling, supporting herself between two struts. Chon crouches by a bunk and whispers to the human shape beneath the blanket. Chon pulls away the blanket to reveal rolled-up sheets as his sister drops down and kicks Artie in the face. She knocks him cold and is about to kick Roy, but Chon grabs her ankle. Roy stares at her, spellbound.
Ling?
She looks at Chon.
Ling?
Chon grins and they hug each other joyfully. Artie slowly stands, nursing his jaw.
If you don't mind, I'll just wait outside.
John smiles at Lin and Roy whispers to him.
Introduce me.
Oh, this is Lin, my baby sister.
She says, I'm not a baby.
Roy O'Bannon.
He gives her a steely look.
Pleasure. You never told me your sister was such a beautiful lotus blossom.
Lin smiles and says, is this the American sidekick you wrote me about? John grins and says yes.
Okay.
What'd she say?
He's very charming.
No. No talking about me in your native tongue.
John points at her.
Why are you in jail?
I followed the man who murdered father.
And?
I found out where I live. I snuck inside his house and tried to kill him.
It's my duty to find father's killer.
No, it is mine. I'm the one who promised father.
But I'm his only son.
When you abandoned us for America, father said he had no son.
What?
She sighs and John looks crushed.
Whoa, time out. Come here.
Look, the detective's a fan. Why don't I play the celebrity card and we'll get her out that way? Okay? Come on.
The subdued Chon turns back to face Lin.
Don't worry. I got you out.
Lin stares at Chon, who walks past her and out of the cell. Roy steps up to her.
Everything's gonna be okay. In fact, I'm gonna give you my good luck playing cards.
With a nude on the back.
Just ignore the naked ladies.
Ray!
Chon turns back.
Have you opened Father's box?
Not yet.
Roy and Chon leave the cell and Artie, still holding his jaw, shuts the door. Later in his office, Artie shows Roy and Chon a newspaper.
She tried to assassinate Lord Rathbone whilst he was taking afternoon tea.
He's 10th in line to the throne, Her Majesty's favourite cousin, and the finest swordsman in England.
Roy looks up from the newspaper.
So of course, the press had a field day. The story actually knocked Jack the Ripper off the front page.
Artie, Lynn is not a killer. She's just a really, really, really hot, confused Chinese girl. Maybe if I agree to sign a few autographs and talk to some of my fans here in England, do some type of charity event, can we get her out that way?
I'm afraid that's out of the question. What will happen to my sister? She'll go to trial, probably be locked away in an institution for the criminally insane. Tabloids already dubbed her Loony Lin. Thought's rather catchy.
John scowls.
At the time.
Outside the Houses of Parliament, a policeman opens a gate to allow Lord Rathbone to step through and get into a very early-style cream-coloured car. Rathbone drives the leather-topped vehicle out onto the street and begins to look a little anxious. He turns to see a Chinese man in a dark suit sitting in the back seat.
Do you have any notion what would happen if we were to be seen together?
Since your return, I've yet to lay eyes on the Imperial Seal.
I'm hosting a Jubilee Ball at my country estate tomorrow. Be at the stables at midnight. As requested, a token of my esteem.
He hands the wavy-bladed dagger that killed Chon's father to the olive-skinned man. The man smiles and Rathbone stops the car.
This is where you get out.
The man gets out and smiles at Rathbone.
I hope there will be more trust between us when I'm emperor and you are the new king.
Rathbone turns away, releases the handbrake and drives off. Chon and Roy saunter towards the elegant white frontage of Buckingham Palace.
Buckingham Palace. Look at that, John. That's where the Queen lives.
Roy spots a guard.
Hey, look at this guy.
He's a royal guard. He has a very important job. I used to be just like him.
Oh, no, no. They're nothing like you. They're more of a tourist attraction. You can make faces at them, insult them, and they can't move a muscle. Here, watch this.
Roy.
No, no, it's okay. Hey, buddy, your shoes are untied.
The guard's impassive, and Roy looks at his bearskin.
That is the biggest damn beaver I have ever seen.
Roy, stop it.
The Queen! Look, the Queen! She's mooning us. He almost went for that. My friend and I just came over from America. Might have heard of it. We run your jerkwater country. Come on. You gonna take that from a colonial?
Roy, stop it.
I bet you are one hell of a damn poker player. No hard feelings.
Huh? He slaps the guard's shoulder and the guard hits him in the groin with his rifle butt.
I can't do that! You're not allowed to do that!
Shouldn't have touched him.
You scram, little punk. Got friends at Scotland Yard. I'll give you up in a heartbeat.
You get your watch back.
Don't worry about my watch. Come on.
It's a knockoff, you know.
What are you talking about, a knockoff? My uncle stole this watch from President Lincoln. It's a priceless family heirloom.
Not according to the pawnbroker.
You should not steal.
If I don't steal, I don't need. By the way, who showed you how to do all that kicking and punching?
My father.
Yeah, have you ever heard of those? They're parents. We have parents that love us. You don't, because you're a little orphan. And go on, you're making us look bad. You're cramping our style.
Charlie watches them as it starts to rain.
The country blows.
You need a place to stay.
Charlie shows Roy and Chon into an elegantly appointed room.
Come on in and warm your dogs.
Kid, you can get into a lot of trouble breaking into a place like this. That being said, well done.
Roy, wearing a smoking jacket, relaxes in front of a fire while Charlie lights his cigar.
You just take the last chocolate?
Of course I did. You gotta look out for number one, kid. I could really get used to this. Living the life of a country gentleman, maybe doing a little painting, let Lynn play in the garden with the children, Vera, Chuck and Dave.
Who's Lynn?
Lynn's the most beautiful woman I've ever met.
John comes in.
She's gonna be the savior of the House of O'Bannon. Hey, John,
Check out the threads. What do you think? All I'm missing is the loyal hound curled at my feet.
We are wasting time. We must find Rathbone.
What do you think I've been doing? Sitting here drinking expensive hooch? Boy, refill. I've been working on a plan. Now, whoa. Don't slosh the brandy. It messes with the bouquet.
Soda.
Listen, I'm trying to teach you a skill set, help get you off the street. Bartenders make big bucks.
Roy!
The plan. Thank you, John. Now, I figure if we find the seal, we can prove Rathbone killed your dad.
He gives Chun a sketch of them catapulting into Rathbone's place.
It's the old Hail Mary play. I also have a version where we dig a tunnel.
Chun throws it in the fire.
Hey!
Bloody catapult, Jesus Christ. You don't need a catapult.
Who asked you? You don't interrupt grown-ups when they're talking.
Lord Nelson Rathbone requests the pleasure of your company at the Jubilee Ball in honor of Her Majesty's 50th year on the throne.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it doesn't address the issue of security. They're not exactly going to let John and I waltz into the castle.
All you need is a proper disguise.
John looks at Roy.
I do like a good disguise.
A carriage rides up a driveway lit by flaming torches towards the main gates of a huge castle. The coach pulls up and Charlie jumps down from the driver's seat wearing a footman's uniform. He opens the carriage door and Roy steps out wearing a full Major General's dress uniform, complete with a red sash and plumed hat. Chon gets out behind him wearing an elaborate Maharaja's outfit, including a plumed turban decorated with jewels.
I look like a fool.
What? You're Maharaja, that's Indian royalty.
But I'm Chinese.
It's the same thing.
Hey, bob your head a little bit.
Gives you more of an India royalty flavor. That's good. Good show, good show.
Good show, good show.
Cheerio, cheerio.
Cheerio, cheerio.
Now what do we do when we see Rathbone?
Kill him.
No, okay? No, you're gonna be civil in there because we don't have the seal yet. No seal, no Lin, no family honor, okay? Be cool. Okay, we look great. Let's enjoy this party.
They walk towards the entrance and Charlie follows them.
Whoa, what are you doing?
I'm going inside. They say the place is haunted.
No, you're the harness man, which means you get back at the carriage and you wait there in case we need to make a quick getaway. Go on, man your post. You don't always get what you want.
Why are you so mean to that boy?
I see a lot of myself in that kid. It's kind of freaking me out. Come on.
Charlie goes back to the carriage and elbows the door in frustration, while Roy and Chun step into the castle. Roy hands their invitation to the Master-at-Arms, who looks at them oddly.
Your name, please, sir?
Roy looks hesitant.
So I can announce you.
Roy glances around the hall and spots a wall clock with a plaque on the bottom reading Sherlock Watchmakers, Holmes County, Ireland. He turns back to the Master-at-Arms.
Sherlock. Holmes. Sherlock Holmes.
Chun looks bewildered.
And which province do you represent, Your Highness?
Chun smiles and waggles his head to and fro.
Nevada.
The grey-haired Master-at-Arms wears black pantaloons and a long black coat trimmed with gold. He nods obsequiously, then turns and walks away. Roy and Chun waggle their heads at each other and follow him. In the Great Hall, a string quartet plays while the elegantly dressed party guests chat to each other. The Master-at-Arms comes to the open doorway.
May I present Major General Sherlock Holmes and His Highness the Maharaja of Nevada.
He steps aside and Roy and Chun grin at the guests, who look slightly bemused. Also in the hall is Artie, who chews a mouthful of food and watches with a puzzled expression as Roy and Chun walk through the party. Rathbone steps up to Artie.
How are the security arrangements this evening, Inspector?
Everything seems to be going swimmingly, my lord. And if I may say so, it is an honour to guard your lordship tonight. I think I speak for all of us at Scotland Yard when I say that no matter how far you are from the throne, you'll always be number one in our hearts.
Rathbone gives him a cold stare and Artie grins nervously. Roy and Chun walk up to a lavish buffet table.
Okay, here's the plan. We're gonna get a little chow, then we're gonna sneak out of here, start looking for that seal.
Okay. Spotted Dick, sir.
What?
Spotted Dick.
Roy looks incredulously at the server.
Can you believe this guy? I'm trying to get something to eat. He's asking me if I got the clap.
I think he's offering you food.
Chun points.
Oh, Spotted Dick. Oh, no, I think I'll pass. I'm not really a dessert man. Perhaps my friend might like some Spotted Dick.
Chun glares, then smiles at the server.
Might try one of these sausages, though. A little smoky Joe.
Roy picks up a large sausage and takes a huge bite.
This is good. I thought the food here was supposed to suck.
The haggis is fresh from Scotland, sir. It's made from the finest sheep's bladders.
Roy gags and spits it out.
I'm gonna get some whiskey and wash my mouth out.
Roy walks off and Chom helps himself to more food. Rathbone appears beside Chom.
You should try the quail.
Chom turns, knife in hand.
I shot them myself this morning.
How do you do, Yulosh?
Very well, thank you. I'm not acquainted with the Nevada province.
Rathbone watches Chom carefully.
But I haven't been to India since 81. I spent most of my time in the Orient.
I hear you've just returned from China.
You are well informed, Maharaja. It is my dream that the Chinese people will follow India's example and one day embrace British rule.
The Chinese are very proud. They place family and honor above all else.
Well, I'm sure we can break them of that.
Rathbone smiles and looks at his pocket watch, which reads 11:45.
If you'll excuse me, I have a matter to attend to.
Until we meet again.
Rathbone nods and walks off. John's polite smile turns bitter and Roy comes over.
Patience, patience. I'm proud of you, John.
We must find a seal.
Later, Roy peers through a keyhole.
What do you see?
He watches Rathbone open a drawer in a large desk and take out the dragon-headed key.
He just pulled a fancy dragon key out of his desk.
That was my father's. I must avenge his honor.
Hey, slow down, Tiger. Slow down. Quit going all Chinese on me.
Chom shoves Roy out of the way and bursts in. Rathbone's gone.
Where is he?
Damn it, John. Remember your puzzle box. Patience. Patience.
They look round.
Okay, now there are no windows. We just came in through the only doorway. At least one explanation.
Remember in Royal Bannon vs. the Mummy how the zombie king got away when I chased him into the Pharaoh's tomb? There's a secret passageway behind the Sphinx. Now there's gotta be a lever or a button over here. Help me lift some stuff up.
Roy walks to a bookcase and starts tilting books back like they're levers. Chom looks at a large painting of an elegant man on the wall and sees human eyes watching him through holes in the painting's eyes. Chom turns to Roy and the painting's real eyes drop back into place.
Roy, the painting!
It's looking at me.
Look!
Oh, yeah, looks like it's looking at me too. That's great. That's
no, funny. Real eyes! Moving!
No, Chom, that kid got to you, didn't he? Unbelievable. We're not in a haunted house. That's a technique that an artist uses. Ubiquitous gaze or pursuing eyes is the technical term. It's unnerving, though. I'll give you that.
Chom steps away tensely and sees human eyes watching him from a painting of a dog.
Right. Now, those eyes. Look!
Whatever you say, John.
Roy finds a book called The Kama Sutra, The Art of Sexual Technique.
See what you got here, Rathbone.
Chom leans on a stone statue and presses in its bosom. The fireplace pivots round.
Roy!
Sending him into a secret room.
What, John? Are the statues moving now?
Roy remains engrossed in the book. The secret room is filled with golden statues, sarcophaguses, Ming vases and other precious objects. Chom gapes and notices the golden casket with the dragon on the lid. He tries to open it, but it's locked. Suddenly, a guard leaps up behind Chom and grabs him. Chom kicks away a second guard who knocks over a vase, which he catches and carefully puts back. Chom rolls to the fireplace as the first guard tries to stamp on him. Back in the library, Roy studies the Kama Sutra and doesn't notice the fireplace rotate back round. Chom wrestles the guard's foot off his mouth and cries out as the fireplace rotates again, sending him and the guard back to the secret room.
Damn it, I can't even hear myself think with you shouting at me, Chom!
He stands.
Chom?
And walks to the fireplace.
John? This is ridiculous. John, if you want to act like a child and play little games, then find someone else, okay? Because I take this stuff seriously. I'm here to work. I'm on a mission.
The fireplace spins while his back's turned.
John?
Roy looks edgy.
Okay, John. Okay, you little Chinese otter. Let's play.
Roy stalks across the elegant library and suddenly ducks down to look under a table. He frowns and stands, then glances up at an old painting of a woman sitting with a dog. A pair of human eyes stare out from the eyes of the painting and Roy backs away in terror.
Ah! Ah! John, demons!
Two guards with swords charge in and Roy throws a couple of books at them. Suddenly, Lin bursts in through the painting of the woman and kicks both guards out of the way simultaneously. The guards try to stand and Lin kicks them both over, while Roy stands behind her, aping her moves. Lin turns to look at Roy and he stares at her enthralled.
She's gonna fight my battles for me.
Come on. Let's go.
Lin feels the statue by the fireplace.
What? What are you doing? It's kinky. like it.
She presses the statue's breasts and the fireplace rotates, sending Chon and the two guards into the library and them into the secret room.
Wow. Look at this.
Roy gawps at the treasure while Lin runs over to the golden casket. In the library, a guard slashes at Chon, who grabs onto the foot of a sliding ladder and scuttles his feet, scooting himself back away from the guard's sword. Chon jumps up and blocks the guard's lunges with books from the bookcase. Chon jumps onto the ladder and slides along the bookcase, kicking one of the guards in the face. Chon lifts his legs up and kicks the top shelf, which dislodges and rains books down onto the head of the other guard. Chon tilts the foot of the ladder up, smacking a guard in the face, then tips it over and a guard gets wedged between the rungs. Chon grabs the foot of the ladder and pushes it back, sitting the wedged guard on a table. Another guard lunges at Chon with a sword, and Chon spins the ladder round, knocking the guard off his feet. Chon pushes the ladder up against the opposite bookcase and then drops it back down, clobbering another of the guards. A guard slashes at Chon and he backs away to the fireplace, which rotates again, sending Chon and the guard back into the secret room and Roy and Lin back into the now devastated library. Lin runs into the library and Roy stops cowering. He looks around at the mess and the unconscious guards.
Wait, there's something different about this room.
In the secret room, Chon picks up a vase to block the attacks. A guard slashes with his sword but makes sure not to hit the vase. Chon jabs the vase at him and he backs off. Chon looks at the vase in bewilderment and a thought occurs to him.
Hey!
He lobs the vase to a guard who dives under a sarcophagus to catch it. Another guard attacks Chon, who grabs several vases and wedges them under the guard's arms and between his legs. The guard hastily tries to rearrange the vases as Chon loads him up with more, then puts a vase lid over his head. The guard totters over and Chon catches him. He lowers him gently to the ground, allowing him to let go of the vases, then yanks him back up and kicks him in the face. In the library, Lin yanks Roy back to the fireplace, which rotates.
Let's go!
Into the secret room.
Wait!
John, for God's sakes!
Lin!
Now he shows up.
I found it.
Unbelievable. Wait, John, do you want to hear?
He's just gone.
John kneels by the casket, opens it and looks inside. His face falls and he slowly lowers the lid. He looks around at the gloomy, cave-like secret room and notices one of the flaming torches which hangs beside a large golden statue and flickers as though blown by a breeze. Chon walks over to the statue, which is of an ethereal figure seated cross-legged on a throne. He examines the edges of the throne, then pushes the statue across the wall a few feet to reveal a hidden passageway. Chon creeps into the passageway and beckons Lin, who follows him. Roy hesitates, unwilling to leave the treasure.
Roy! When are we gonna come back? Roy!
Roy tears himself away from the booty and follows them. Rathbone stands in his stable. He checks his watch, then jumps at the sound of a snapping twig.
Must you keep doing that?
I was taught not to be seen or heard.
The Chinaman.
The seal.
I am a man of my word.
Rathbone hands the man the golden stamper with the diamond in the top.
I remember watching my brother play with this like a baby rattle.
A trapdoor opens.
When I try to touch it, the Dowager Empress beats me.
Chon, Roy and Lin sneak in.
No doubt your deprived childhood made you into the man you are today.
Which how?
Well, well.
What if you do?
He's the Emperor's bastard brother.
He was banished from the Forbidden City for trying to steal the Imperial seal.
Oh, Father Cotton. He vowed to return to claim the Emperor's throne.
This guy.
Roy peers over a stall.
You have nothing to worry about. It's all in place.
That diamond is as big as a damn monkey's paw. Roy, don't even think about it. I'm just admiring the craftsmanship, John.
So for now, our business is completed.
Wu Chan hands the Imperial seal back to Rathbone and walks out of the stable. Chon glances behind him and sees that Lin has gone.
What's Lin?
Lin suddenly vaults over a rail. She kicks Rathbone square in the chest and the seal flies out of his hand. Chon and Roy make to run after it, but Rathbone produces a tiny pistol and shoots at them. Lin wrestles with Rathbone as Charlie appears and grabs the seal.
Hey! Hey!
Roy scrambles after Charlie, who darts through a hole in the wall.
Gotcha!
Roy grabs at him and gets his hat.
Just looking out for number one.
No! The king got the seal!
Lin struggles with Rathbone, who fires his gun and hits an oil lamp, which sets fire to the straw on the ground. He pushes Lin away and pulls down a pile of hay bales. Rathbone smashes a lamp onto the bales, which burst into flames, blocking Roy, Chon and Lin's escape route. He leaves and locks the doors behind him.
John!
Chong tries to fight the flames near the doors, while Roy fans Charlie's hat at another pocket of fire near Rathbone's car. Roy runs to the trapdoor and tries to open it.
It's dark!
Chong runs over and also struggles with the trapdoor, while Roy pounds on a boarded-up window. Chong looks around desperately, then notices a circular skylight in the roof.
Lin!
Lin turns and Chong points up at the skylight. He crouches forward and holds his joined hands together like a step. Lin runs at him, steps onto his hands and vaults up into the beams. She climbs out of the skylight.
Go! You can do it!
She's got it!
Roy! Come on!
John, what in our history together makes you think I'm capable of something like that?
Roy!
I can't do that!
Hurry up! Wait, there's a better way.
The stable doors splinter apart and Roy and Chong thunder out in Rathbone's car. Rathbone scowls and jumps out of the way as they charge past him with Roy at the wheel. Takes me
to you. Slow down! I'm a fat out of hell!
They speed on.
Guys, I don't know where the brake is.
What?
They career along a woodland path and approach a carriage.
You go!
Chong wrenches the steering wheel to the left and the car clatters off the path. Chong and Roy bounce helplessly in their seats as the car rattles across the bumpy ground, flattening small trees in its way. They turn and scream at each other as Chong points at a wooden fence. They hold their arms over their faces and smash through the fence into a meadow. They sit back in exhaustion as the car drives on.
Slow down, buddy.
Relax. Smooth sailing from here.
The car vanishes into a cloud of thick mist. Rathbone holds sketches of Roy and Chong.
Yes, these are the men who attacked me.
I'm afraid the assailants have temporarily eluded us, my lord.
Perhaps you could explain to me how Loony Lin managed to escape from the confines of Scotland Yard under the watch of the most respected police force in the world.
Yes, of course. It's absolutely fascinating. She picked the lock using a deck of rather risque playing cards, then scaled the walls with a mop, a fork, and various pilfered undergarments. I mean, you could have handed it to the Chinese. They're awfully ingenious lot, aren't they?
Does your incompetence know no bounds?
Artie hangs his head in shame and Rathbone storms off. Roy wears an Indian-style silk gown and dozes on a bed of luxurious cushions. He slowly looks around as an exotic, dark-haired young woman leans up close to him and smiles warmly. About a dozen dark-haired, olive-skinned women, all wearing jewels and flimsy Eastern costumes, sit around his bed, smiling seductively at him. Roy leans back with an overawed smile.
Where am I?
Lin crawls towards him.
Lin! I don't even know these women.
She also wears an Eastern costume and smiles.
Lin, what are you doing here?
She holds the Kama Sutra.
Oh, Lord. Do you want to try the position on page 37?
Lin leans forward and slowly licks Roy's face from his chin up to his forehead.
What's your name? Come in.
Thanks.
He frowns.
What?
It's daytime and Roy's slumped unconscious in the crashed car. A sheep sits facing him and licks his face. Roy wakes up and tumbles out of the car. Chong stands over him.
You okay?
No, I'm not okay. I've just been violated by a barnyard animal.
Chong helps him up and they look around at the grassy meadow.
Who will leave a pile of stones in the middle of the field?
I don't know, John. These people are nuts.
They turn and saunter off, away from the vast grey standing stones of Stonehenge.
Can I tell you something?
What?
This is a hell of a damn adventure we're on, and I'm having an absolute ball with you.
Chong puts a hand on Roy's shoulder.
Me too.
They walk together along a country track as a horse-drawn wagon approaches them from behind.
Here we go. Get your thumb out, Maharaja.
What?
Over here.
They stick their thumbs out.
Excuse me.
Lynn's driving.
Lin!
She smiles down at them. Later, they drive along a riverside track. Chong sits in the back of the wagon behind Roy and Lin. Roy rubs his shoulder.
My shoulder's getting a little tight.
He puts his arm around her.
This is your first time in England, isn't it?
She nods.
How do you know your way around? It's incredible.
I always had a good sense of direction.
Ah, you can say that again. Wish we could say the same about you-know-who. I once sent him over a mountain range. He was lost forever.
One time, I sent him over the Great Wall. He was lost for 3 days.
3 days? No.
John rolls his eyes.
Oh, gosh, we got a lot in common.
I've never met anybody like you, Roy.
Really? Hey, can I tell you something without you getting offended?
What?
You have a great body. There, I said it. It's out in the open.
John watches Roy carefully.
You must work out.
Me?
Excuse me.
John climbs over and sits between them.
John, what are you doing?
Oh. I don't like the messy. It makes me sick. Dizzy.
It's nighttime as the wagon rolls under an archway with Whitechapel written on it and comes to a rough area of town.
Whitechapel? This looks like a nice enough neighborhood.
A sign outside the building reads Puss and Boots.
What is Puss and Boots?
It's a boarding house. Some of the sailors on the ship coming over recommended it.
Inside the dark, smoky barroom of the Puss and Boots, prostitutes mill around, chatting with sailors and various other men. John stands in the doorway and sighs, then marches over to Roy and Lynn at the reception desk. He separates them and speaks to Roy.
I won't let my sister stay here.
What are we supposed to do? Check into the Savoy? We'll get arrested before we get to our room.
I don't mind this place.
Lynn strides off, leaving Roy and John at the desk. John sighs.
See? He's a little open-minded.
Roy shakes his head.
I know this sounds crazy because I just met her, but I think I'm falling for her. I think she's the one.
Roy, she's my baby sister.
I know she is. Thank God. That's the only chance I've got. Look, I'm getting ready to launch a little thing called Operation Sweeper Off Her Feet. You're in a position to talk me up. Can I count on you? Please, buddy, I've never asked you for anything.
Sure, Roy. I'll tell her the truth.
Don't get hung up on the truth. Feel free to smooth out your old pal's rough edges.
John walks off.
I love you, buddy.
Lynn sits pensively on her bed as John comes into her room.
Lynn. Come.
Lynn walks over to John as he shuts the door. Out in the hallway, Roy listens at the door.
Sit.
Roy creeps up the hall and into the neighbouring room. A large brass bed stands in the middle of the room, with some faded Regency-style furniture around it. Roy shuts the door and creeps across to another set of doors which open onto Lynn's room. He crouches down to listen. Roy stands, straightens his Major General's tunic and walks across the room. He opens his door to a young woman with dark curly hair. She looks him up and down.
Hello, love. Fancy a tumble?
Oh, where were you 2 days ago? I would have bedded you in a second. Now you're looking at a changed man. I'm sort of saving myself for someone special.
I'll give you a discount.
He stares at her.
That's the most romantic thing any woman's ever said to me.
He shuts his eyes.
Oh, you better go. You better go before we lose control. Go.
If you change your mind.
Roy.
The girl swaggers off and Roy carefully shuts the door. He creeps on tiptoe back to the door adjoining his room to Lynn's and listens.
Lynn, our father will talk about the right man for you. He must be strong, courageous, and a good father.
Like Roy.
We got her, John.
Not like Roy. You don't know him like I do. He has many bad habits.
Such as?
He drinks, smokes, and he gambles.
John, where are you going?
He sleeps with women for money.
What are you...
Roy, don't do that. I can see inside him. He has a good heart.
That's right.
His salmon don't swim upstream. He shoots blanks. Lynn, he cannot be trusted.
How could you say that? You're his friend.
Yeah, sort of. Roy is the type of a friend you never introduce to your other friends or bring home to your family. He never speaks the truth. You know what I call him? Not Roy O'Bannon, Roy O'Baloney.
Roy looks hurt.
I don't care.
Lynn, I forbid it.
She stands.
You are not my father.
She walks out angrily and John sighs. Roy lies on his bed with his knees drawn up to his chest. Later, he's drinking at the bar.
Roy, there you are. Hi. Mm-hmm. You need anything, buddy?
A whole lot of leave me alone.
He knocks back his drink and slams the glass down.
What's wrong?
Roy turns to John and considers.
Nothing. I guess I just woke up on the wrong side of bed. I feel a little pain in my back, like someone put a knife there. I'm okay. Don't worry about me.
Roy pours himself some more liquor and John walks over to the doorway. He takes a feather boa off a chair and puts it on, then takes a hat off of a lamp.
Roy!
John breaks a bottle over his head and pretends to act dazed.
Ta-da! That actually reminds me of a trick. You ever seen this one?
He throws bottles.
Or this one!
John catches them.
Ooh, I think you're so cool with your karate and your childlike reflexes.
He falls backwards off his stool.
Roy, you okay?
John leans over.
Look at you. Do you really call me Roy Baloney?
John's smile fades as Roy looks sadly up at him.
Roy, you don't understand.
You just smashed my puzzle box. I'll never figure out my message.
Roy.
Go.
Roy holds up his hands.
You're dead to me. I don't know a John Wayne.
Still lying flat on his back, Roy folds his arms. John stands and walks away. A little later, Roy lets himself into his room to find about a dozen girls from downstairs waiting for him. He smiles in bewilderment.
Hi, Roy.
John pops up.
Who loves you, baby?
Nice try, John.
Roy! I'm sorry.
Roy shakes his head and turns back to the door. John throws a cushion that hits him in the head.
You do that again and you're a dead man.
Roy points sternly, then turns away. John throws a pillow that hits Roy in the head. Roy pauses for a moment before bending down and picking up the pillow. He turns to look at John.
Pillow fight!
John and Roy have stripped down to their combinations and do an exuberant jig as the Puss in Boots girls stand around them, whacking each other with pillows. John and Roy lead two conga lines of girls across the room. Feathers flutter in the air as the corseted girls pound each other with pillows and bounce up and down on the bed. Roy whacks a girl with a pillow, then turns to whack the person behind him. He stops when he sees it's an excited middle-aged man in combinations. John hits himself in the head with a pillow and Roy grabs his arm.
I am Roy Baloney!
Yes!
I'm full of it!
You are!
In slow motion, John bounces into the air. Then Roy bounces into the air with his mouth wide open. John bounces up with a grin and Roy bounces up after him. The middle-aged man bounces up with a joyous smile. Roy and the middle-aged man bounce up together and Roy looks at him in puzzlement. Feathers fly as the pillow fight continues. In the hallway, Lynn comes to her door and hears the ruckus coming from Roy's room. She walks over to Roy's door and listens.
Roy?
Lynn opens the door. Roy and Chon are now out of their combinations and continue the fight. Chon spots Lynn.
Lynn!
Roy and Chon quickly cover their groins with their pillows. Roy points at Chon.
It was his idea.
John points at Roy.
John!
Close!
John pulls Roy back as Lynn runs out of the boarding house and turns down a dark, foggy alleyway. John and Roy have donned their shirts and trousers and run out of the Puss in Boots, leaving a cloud of feathers in their wake. They run off past the alleyway Lynn went down. Lynn's eyes nervously dart to and fro as she strides down the gloomy alleyway. She crosses a footbridge and suddenly spins round to look behind her. The alley is empty and she turns back. Lynn recoils as she comes face to face with a sinister-looking man wearing a black coat and top hat.
Nice night for a walk.
The man suddenly draws a sword and slashes at Lynn, who ducks, flips forward and kicks him into the river. She leans over the wall and calls him a bleeping loser.
Lynn! There you are!
What are you doing? Don't you know there's a serial killer on the loose?
Forget it.
Lynn stops when she sees two boxers waiting on the other side of the bridge. Roy, Chon, and Lynn turn to see three more boxers on the other side.
Who the hell are these guys?
Boxers.
What do they want with us?
They're with me.
Rathbone steps between the two boxers.
I think we need to have a little chat.
The River Thames runs through a large, gloomy warehouse. Chon and Roy kneel on the dockside with their wrists and ankles tied. Wu Chan and Rathbone face them.
John Wayne, the man defied an emperor.
The Emperor should never have spared your life.
I see. You're still my brother's laptop.
I'm here not for him. I'm here for my father.
Of course you are.
Wu Chan pulls the wavy-bladed dagger out of its sheath.
It was my dagger that plunged into his heart.
It's still crusted with his blood.
John tries to scramble forward to Wu Chan, but two boxers pull him back.
I know the boy has the seal. Where is he?
We don't know. That's the truth, we don't know.
Rathbone nods to a boxer who turns a large horizontal wheel.
What are you doing?
Lynn's feet are tied to the ground and her wrists are tied to a crane. She's stretched.
Oh, stop, put her down!
her down!
Oh, what, Mr. O'Bannon? Are you gonna kick my ass? I've read all about your ridiculous exploits. I mean, just how does it feel to kill a mummy with your bare hands? Only a nation of uneducated rednecks would be amused by such cowboy drivel.
Whoa, easy. What's with the personal attacks? You don't see me making any comments about your pasty complexion or your snotty accent or even your filthy, smutty sex books. Yeah, I saw your book. It disgusted me.
When Chan hits Roy in the head.
Oh, why is it always the head with you people?
Lin stretched again.
Hold it! Stop! Hold it! Just hold it! What are we doing here? Guys, look at this. We're acting like animals. Over what? Some seal?
The seal represents imperial power. I will use it to unite the Emperor's enemies and storm the Forbidden City.
Well, what's in it for you?
You're looking at the future King of England.
You're like 20th in line to the throne.
10th. But my friend is about to change all that by simple process of elimination.
A boxer pulls a sheet off a belt-fed machine gun.
It's called a machine gun. The first of its kind, it fires 200 rounds a minute. Testament to British ingenuity.
Well, so you steal the seal, and then you knock off 9 royals?
Wu Chan smiles.
You got the short end of that stick, my friend.
Rathbone nods to a boxer who turns the wheel and lowers Lin.
Dump them in the river.
Two boxers carry Lin out.
Where are you taking her?
To make history. I can already see the headlines. Nation mourns as Loony Lin massacres royal family.
Chun swallows hard. Lin is carried into the dark street outside the warehouse and dropped into a horse-drawn carriage. The boxers wait by the carriage as Rathbone swaggers out of the warehouse, followed by Wu Chan.
I need your assurance that you will find the seal.
Don't concern yourself. My men are scouring the city.
You better pray they find it. Or our agreement is over and you will never get the crown.
Wu Chan strides away. In the warehouse, Roy and Chon are bound and hung upside down from the crane.
Chon, I got a confession to make.
You are in love with my sister.
Well, that, but I didn't lose all the money on the Zeppelins.
No?
Nah. I blew most of it on the Royal Bannon novels. I wrote them.
No, Sage McAllister wrote
That's
it.
What I'm saying, buddy. I'm Sage McAllister.
Chon realizes the white-whiskered man on the back of the book was Roy in disguise.
You wrote those lies?
I've always had low self-esteem.
How many books did you print?
I self-published probably 1 million copies. We're actually second to the Bible that year.
Oh, you.
I guess I'm just about the worst friend a guy could ask for.
No, you're a good friend.
Thank you.
If you really love Lin, I will stand in your way.
Really?
But if you break her heart, I break your leg.
That's fair.
The boxers come in.
Well, friends to the end, John. And this is the end.
John and Roy hang back to back as the crane swings them over the river.
John, you got a plan? You wouldn't happen to have a plan, would you?
Yes.
Anything I can do?
No.
Good. I'll let you do the heavy lifting then.
Chon raises his upper body and puts his head between his knees, allowing him to chew at the rope that binds his wrists. He frees his wrists and releases his feet from the hook. The boxers spot him and let go of the bars that stick out of the horizontal wheel.
John, hurry!
Chon gets the hook swinging and drops down onto a barge moored by the dock. A boxer slashes at him.
John! Hurry!
Chon punches the boxer to the ground as the other boxer turns the horizontal wheel and lures Roy headfirst into the river. Chon bounds over to the wheel, kicks him out of the way, and turns it in the other direction, pulling Roy back out. Two more boxers converge on Chon. A boxer pushes Chon in the other direction, lowering Roy back into the water. Chon kicks the boxer over as another boxer runs at him. Chon pulls the wheel to and fro, clobbering the boxer against the metal bars that stick out of it. Chon turns the wheel and lifts Roy out of the water. The boxer stands and Chon pulls the wheel back and forth, smacking him between the bars. Behind Chon, Roy is being lowered in and out of the water. The boxer falls to the ground and Chon runs round the wheel, pulling Roy out of the river.
Just go ahead and drown me. I don't care anymore.
A boxer cuts the rope and Roy drops into the river.
Roy!
A boxer grabs the hand grips of the machine gun and opens fire on Chon, who dives into the river. Bullets zip through the water around him as he swims down to Roy, who sits on the riverbed with his hands tied behind his back and his feet tied to the metal crane hook. Air bubbles out of Roy's mouth as he says, "Where have you been?" Chon points up and says, "I was busy," then unties Roy's feet. He swims behind Roy and unties his wrists as Roy says, "Unbelievable." Chon sighs wearily and says, "Patience, Roy." Roy replies, "Tell that to the eel swimming up my ass." Chon frees Roy and they both swim for the surface. Goldfish swim around in a bowl in Artie's lounge. Artie's asleep on his couch and opens his bleary eyes. He gets up and totters into his hall. Through the frosted glass panel in his door, Artie sees two silhouettes that look like the classic image of Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson. He opens the door to find Roy wearing a cape and deerstalker hat with a pipe in his mouth, and Chon wearing a suit and bowler hat.
"You look ridiculous."
They look at their clothes.
"I think we look good."
They stride in past Artie.
I really must protest this intrusion. Every bobby in London is out scouring the streets for you two.
Have you been drinking?"
"I always drink when my employment's been terminated."
"They fired you?"
"Lord Rathbone sort of that."
"I'm sorry."
"It's of no consequence. I never wanted to be an inspector in the first place. It was my father's idea. I always wanted to be a writer."
Roy smiles.
"Yeah.
Artie, we need your help. Rathbone has taken lean.
He's going to kill the royal family and he's going to assume the throne."
"Do you have any evidence to support these preposterous allegations?"
"We have this. It's the boys. Use your technique. Tell us where he is."
He studies Charlie's hat.
"Paraffin wax. Most interesting."
"He's at a church. The little punk's hiding in a church."
No. It's not candle wax. I have it."
Madame Tussauds Wax Museum.
"Don't worry, you'll get it."
"What are you doing?"
"He's picking the lock."
"Well, hurry up."
"John, please, please. It's a very meticulous process. Let Artie do his job. It's almost an art form. It takes the precision of a surgeon.
What?
You have to be so precise. Maybe if we jam another one in there."
His lock picks in his mouth. Artie tries to open the door. Chon throws a stone through the window.
"Well, that works too. Lacks a certain finesse."
Three boxers stand outside the wax museum. Inside...
"All right, let's split up."
Roy walks on down the corridor. Artie heads back the way they came and Chon goes into a room on his left. He finds himself in the Chamber of Horrors and walks up to three wax figures in ancient battle dress. A sign in front of one of them reads, "Genghis Khan." Chon walks past a figure in a chair with a metal clamp over his head and looks at a withered corpse in a cage. Chon grimaces and walks past two boxers who stand stock still in the doorway. Chon stops and counts all the figures, including the boxers, then walks up to the boxers and looks at them carefully. The boxers suddenly draw their swords and slash at Chon. Charlie lies under a blanket in a cell exhibit and looks up. His sleepy eyes open wide when he sees Chon battling the boxers. Chon hides behind the Genghis Khan figure, which gets its arms chopped off by the boxers. Charlie runs out of the room as Chon grabs onto the ropes on a figure being tortured by stretching. He kicks a boxer, then notices that every time he pulls the ropes, the wax figure's arms and legs extend. Charlie runs into a room decorated like a Wild West saloon.
"What the?"
Roy's already in there and stalks Charlie around a poker table.
"I'm gonna break your neck."
Charlie throws a bottle at Roy, who ducks. The bottle shatters a mirror behind the bar and Charlie darts off. In the Chamber of Horrors, Chon and a boxer grab fake weapons from one of the figures. The boxer jabs Chon in the arm with a long-handled clamp. Chon elbows him against a wall, jams the clamp around his neck and hooks the handle onto the guillotine. Chon freezes like a statue as another boxer runs in. The boxer frees his colleague and Chon sneaks off. Roy walks into another room showing wax exhibits of the royal family. Roy stops in his tracks and frowns. He slowly turns to the wax figure of Queen Victoria and yanks up her skirt to reveal Charlie hiding underneath.
"Here. Go on. Where is it?"
"What?"
"You know what I'm talking about."
The seal's on her garter.
"What do we got here?"
"Oh, yes. You don't mind if I take this back, do you?
Go on, get out of here. Go!
Roy!
I got it."
Charlie runs off and Chon and Artie come in.
"Give me the seal."
They turn.
"Give me the seal!"
A boxer holds his sword against the terrified Charlie's throat. Roy lobs the seal to the boxer, who releases Charlie and catches it. Charlie dodges two other boxers and runs off. The boxers stare at the seal, then turn to see beams of torchlight coming up the corridor.
Let's go.
The boxers run back through the Chamber of Horrors, and Roy, Chun and Artie race out of the Wax Museum. They freeze as they're confronted by dozens of policemen.
Kicks up.
Roy and Artie peer out through the barred window of a police wagon which drives through the streets. They turn away and sit on a bench facing Chun.
So what are we gonna do?
Chun looks down at his solved puzzle box.
Come on, think! I'm not going to an English prison. With my feathery blonde hair and Chun's athletic build, they'll try to make us the belle of the ball. Forget it. I'm not going back.
Well, at least we'll get a good view of the fireworks from Scotland Yard.
Fireworks?
Yeah. At midnight, they're launching this huge display from a flotilla of barges on the Thames. It's the official kickoff to the Queen's Jubilee.
Is the royal family going to be there?
They're going to be viewing the spectacle from a balcony overlooking the river.
He's got a machine gun on the barge.
Chun nods.
Yes.
Suddenly, they all look up as something lands on top of the wagon and feet run across the roof. Charlie jumps down onto the back step and smiles at them through the barred window.
You gents lost your way?
Kid, tell me you got a way out.
Charlie assumes a cool expression and holds up a set of keys. As the wagon rumbles through the dark London streets, the back door opens and Roy, Chun and Artie jump out. Charlie drops down after them and Roy throws him his grey bowler hat.
Nice move, kid. So why'd you come back?
Why'd you give up the seal?
Roy looks baffled and shakes his head.
'Cause I'm a fool?
Charlie smiles.
Guess I'm a fool too.
Well, put her there, fool.
They shake.
I never got your name.
Name's Chaplin. Charlie Chaplin.
Big Ben and the Houses of Parliament are lit up against the night sky. The public line the streets with Union Jack flags and bunting hanging over them as the royal coach, pulled by four white horses, rolls along the road and through a gateway where guards in red tunics and bearskins stand to attention. Trumpeters play a fanfare as the coach pulls up outside the Houses of Parliament. The coach door opens and a footman takes Queen Victoria's hand as she steps out. Rathbone gets out behind her and nods respectfully to a couple of men wearing black coats and top hats. On the barge, Wu Chan steps below deck, where the bound and gagged Lin kneels in front of a Chinese man who wears a coolie hat and a sword on his back. Wu Chan smiles as he walks around Lin and says, "You've grown up." He stands with his back to them and says, "Once the fireworks start, slit her throat and leave her body by the gun." Roy, Chun and Artie try to make their way through the flag-waving crowd.
Excuse me, please.
They come to a wall overlooking the Thames. Wu Chan's barge is moored below them and they watch as Wu Chan comes out onto the deck.
You want the royal family? I'll save Lin. How on earth are you going to do that?
Chun throws off his jacket and leaps down onto the deck of Wu Chan's barge. Wu Chan steps into a large blue and white striped tent on the deck of the barge and yanks a sheet off the machine gun. The royal family assemble in a large lit-up marquee which stands on the riverside and take their seats. Two footmen show Queen Victoria to a throne in the centre of the marquee as Lord Rathbone skulks off to the side. A huge Union Jack flag hangs under the clock face of Big Ben, which shows the time as midnight exactly. Wu Chan rests his hand on the circular arrangement of barrels on his machine gun. He raises the sight and pulls out a catch at the back. Rathbone strides pensively to the side of the marquee. In the barge, the Chinese man stares down at Lin, while in the tent, Wu Chan stands by the machine gun and picks up a bullet belt. Crowds cheer as fireworks shoot up into the sky from the deck of the barge and explode in the air. Soon the sky is filled with showers of colourful sparks as rockets erupt over the Thames. Queen Victoria applauds, while across the river, Wu Chan opens the flaps of his tent and stares across at the marquee. Below deck, the Chinese man draws his sword. He kneels down behind Lin, pulls her head back and holds his sword against her throat. He looks up as a pulley suddenly swings into his face, knocking him cold. Chun leaps down and kneels beside Lin.
You okay?
Chun pulls down Lin's gag and unties her hands. She slaps him in the face.
I just saved you!
You were late!
What?
Wu Chan prepares the gun. Queen Victoria looks across the marquee at Rathbone.
Nelson?
Queen Victoria beckons Rathbone over and he hesitantly joins her. Wu Chan presses his thumbs on the firing button of the machine gun and peers through the sight. He takes his thumbs off again when he sees Rathbone with Victoria.
Why are you hiding yourself back there?
I shouldn't like to impede your view, Your Highness.
Nonsense. You arranged all this. You should have a front row view.
I regret that, respectfully, I must decline. I need to keep a good eye on proceedings.
Victoria applauds as more rockets explode.
Nelson, you've outdone yourself.
Wait till you see the finale.
Chinese men in coolie hats stand on the barge, lighting the rockets. They look up to see Lin standing defiantly by a funnel, the Chinaman Ranitor holding their flaming torches. Once the coast's clear, Chon creeps across the deck. Meanwhile, Wu Chan stares across the river at the marquee. Rathbone walks away from Queen Victoria, and Wu Chan opens fire. The royal family duck as Wu Chan rotates the gun, spreading the gunfire across the marquee. Chon jumps into the tent and kicks him away from the gun, which continues rotating round in a circle. Chon ducks to avoid the bullets and he and Wu Chan struggle on the floor. A couple of Scots guards get Queen Victoria to safety as the machine gun faces the marquee again. On the barge, Lin fights off Wu Chan's torch-wielding henchmen, while in the tent, Chon and Wu Chan continue struggling. On deck, Lin defends herself against Wu Chan's men, while in the tent, Wu Chan and Chon grapple on the floor. They lock their legs together and Wu Chan spins round in the air, forcing Chon to spin with him. Wu Chan kicks Chon in the chest and Chon falls against some crates. The machine gun rotates towards him. It runs out of ammo just as Chon's about to be shot. Chon dives at Wu Chan. Rathbone stares across the river and sees Wu Chan and Chon fighting in the tent. He turns and strides off. Artie and Roy are stuck in the middle of a dense crowd.
Well, this is hopeless, but we're not going to get past the guards.
Well, not with that attitude. We won't. Come on, Artie. There's got to be a way. There's always...
Roy trails off as he glances behind him and sees a policeman getting off a black horse. Lin lies on the deck of the barge as a henchman holds a pole across her throat and tries to throttle her. John's kicked out of the tent and sees Lin at the mercy of the henchman. Wu Chan comes out of the tent and trades blows with Chon, who rolls onto a sliding trapdoor. Wu Chan kicks the trapdoor away and Chon kicks it back, forcing Wu Chan to jump to avoid it. Chon pulls the henchman off Lin and throws him across the deck as Wu Chan jumps over to them. Lin grabs the pole and swipes at Wu Chan, who blocks the blows, then grabs the pole and smashes her with it, sending her spinning down onto a lower deck. Chon gapes in horror at his unconscious sister and turns icily to Wu Chan. Chon assumes a martial arts stance and Wu Chan swings the pole behind him. Chon lunges at Wu Chan and they fight. Royal guards stand outside the Houses of Parliament as Roy and Artie gallop through the crowds on the black horse.
We gotta jump in!
Roy rides the horse with Artie behind him holding onto his waist. One of the guards shuts his eyes nervously as the horse jumps over the line of guards and knocks off his bearskin. Roy and Artie gallop into the Houses of Parliament and the nervous guard faints. On the barge, Wu Chan cracks Chon in the legs with the pole. Chon seizes a barrel and throws it at Wu Chan, who jumps to avoid it. Chon then grabs a life ring, blocks Wu Chan's blows with it, then jams it over Wu Chan's head and pushes it down over his body, pinning his arms by his sides. Wu Chan throws the ring off and kicks Chon back. He grabs Chon by the throat and squeezes hard. With an almighty effort, Chon knocks Wu Chan's arm away and Wu Chan grabs him with his other hand. He kicks Chon's legs away and sends him crashing onto the deck, then kicks him over onto his back. Wu Chan straddles Chon, pulls out the wavy-bladed dagger and holds it over his throat.
Watch out!
Wu Chan looks up to see Lin pointing one of the firework launchers at him. A rocket zooms out of the launcher and hits him in the chest, sending him 30 feet into the air before he explodes in a shower of coloured sparks. Rathbone strides through the Houses of Parliament as Roy and Artie ride towards him.
Hold it right there, Rathboner.
Artie falls off the horse.
I'm guessing by your hasty retreat that you're still 20th in line for the throne.
10th.
Inspector Doyle, arrest this man.
Artie stands and Rathbone produces his tiny pistol.
He's got a gun!
He shoots Artie in the shoulder as Chon and Lin arrive.
Come on!
Rathbone makes a run for it.
Okay, what happened? Rathbone nailed Artie with a little sissy gun.
I'll look after him. You two go. Go!
Roy yanks off his jacket and Chon pulls two mounted swords off the wall. He throws one to Roy and looks at Lin, who turns to him.
For father.
For father.
For old man Wayne.
Lin smiles at Chon, then stands and hands Roy his deck of cards.
Oh, my lucky playing card.
Lin kisses Roy lingeringly on the lips. Chon raises his eyebrows and glances away wearily. Lynn breaks off and looks into Roy's eyes.
Be careful.
Tell Rathbone to be careful.
Roy, let's go.
Roy and Chon run into a huge stairwell. Rathbone leans over from an upper landing and shoots at them.
You're gonna need a bigger gun!
Roy and Chon press on up landing after landing. Fireworks explode around the clock face of Big Ben. Inside the clock, large cogs slowly turn amid a network of wooden and metal gantries and walkways. Roy and Chon, swords drawn, creep up a stairway into the clock chamber and look around at the machinery.
See him?
No.
Show your face, Rathbone!
We're gonna tear this guy apart. Roy, you go this way, I go that way.
Split up, I don't know if that's a good idea.
It's okay.
Chon runs off along a walkway and Roy gives a look as if to say, damn it. Roy carefully climbs up a ladder towards some more machinery. He stops halfway and looks around.
He's not up here.
He heads back down.
Roy, keep going.
Roy steels himself and carries on up the ladder.
Come on, Roy.
He reaches the top and pops the top of his head out of a trapdoor in a gantry. His eyes are wide as he peers around. Chon heads along a walkway beside the clock face. Roy stands among huge turning cogs and calls out.
Hey, Rathbone, just thinking of a title for my new book. Royal Banner versus Little Lord Sissy. But what about Royal Banner versus the man who would be queen?
Chon heads down another walkway and Roy looks around.
No sign of him, John. Coast is clear up here.
Chon looks around at the grey metal machinery and sees Rathbone sneaking up behind Roy.
Roy, look out!
Rathbone kicks Roy through the clock face.
Roy!
Oops.
Chon flings his sword up into a wooden walkway and climbs a rope.
Come on up. I'll show you how your father died.
Chon swings himself onto the walkway, then grabs his sword from the underside. He charges at Rathbone, who flicks Roy's dropped sword into his free hand and fights Chon's one sword with his two. Chon slashes at Rathbone, who parries the blows and spins around like a dervish, forcing Chon to scoot back to avoid being cut. Rathbone traps Chon's sword against the handrail, then slaps him across the cheek with his other sword. Chon jumps up onto the handrails and chops down at Rathbone, who holds his swords over his head, blocking the attack. Chon does a backward somersault and Rathbone grins callously as he slowly advances. Outside, Roy clings onto the hour hand of Big Ben.
Ah, Lord help me. Just let me know you're there. Love me, hate me, but let me know you're up there.
Hey, I can see our hotel from here. Oh.
In the clock chamber, Chon leans back on a rope tied across a gap in the handrail and kicks Rathbone, who kicks him back. Chon falls off the walkway and hangs onto the rope. Rathbone slices one end of the rope with his sword.
Come along. I'm waiting.
Outside.
Come on, Roy. Okay. Royal Banner will not go quietly. You hear that, England? Throw whatever you want at me! Your terrible weather, your perverted killers, your spotted dick!
Roy slides down onto the minute hand, which shows 12 minutes past. Inside, Chon clambers back up onto the walkway where Rathbone stands waiting. Rathbone throws Chon one of two dropped swords before kicking the other one back up into his free hand. Chon lunges and they slash wildly, Rathbone spinning as he parries and slices. Chon stumbles onto his back and scuttles backwards as Rathbone keeps up the deadly pressure. Chon gets to his feet and dodges behind a large cog, then backs onto a rickety wooden gantry beside the clock face. Outside, Roy shins along the horizontal minute hand.
Roy, you're about to die. You're on the minute hand of a clock. Oh, my life is flashing before my eyes. Wait a minute. I don't remember her.
The huge Union Jack flag gently wafts below him. In the clock chamber, Rathbone smiles as he strides along the wooden gantry towards Chon. They fight on and Rathbone cuts Chon's arm. Chon drops his sword and Rathbone picks it up in the blades of his weapons.
One more.
He flicks the sword back to Chon, who lunges at him. The two men fight until Chon loses his weapon again and Rathbone holds the tip of his sword against Chon's throat. With a flick of the wrist, Rathbone slices Chon's tie clean off his neck. Chon holds his throat.
One more.
Rathbone throws Chon his sword back and Chon stares at him breathlessly. Rathbone bends his knees in readiness as Chon goes for him. Rathbone blocks each attack and flicks Chon's sword out of his hand. The sword falls into two large cogs and Rathbone slashes Chon's other arm. As the cogs turn in opposite directions, Chon's sword gets lodged between them and the workings grind to a halt. Outside, the minute hand tilts down a little and Roy desperately hangs on. Inside, Chon touches his wounded arm and looks up at Rathbone.
How disappointing.
The panting Chom frowns.
One more.
Rathbone smirks and Chom nods pleadingly. Rathbone coolly holds up one of his swords and throws it to Chom. Chom catches the sword and stands upright and defiant as he stares at Rathbone.
You kill my friend.
Chom slashes a guy rope and the gantry plunges down a few feet. Rathbone grips the handrails in fear.
Kill my father!
Chom slashes another rope and the gantry drops down further. Metal fixings are wrenched out of the planks as the gantry lurches over and swings towards the clock face. Chom and Rathbone are catapulted off the gantry and smashed through the clock face of Big Ben. Roy grabs onto Chom's wrist and hangs on tightly, while Rathbone falls to his death.
Roy! I saw you were dead!
You think some tea-drinking psycho can take out Roy O'Bannon?
Chom grabs onto Roy's foot and slowly hauls himself up until he's behind Roy on the minute hand. Roy leans over on the hand while Chom sits behind him. Chom pants and flops forward on Roy's back.
Whoa, easy there, cowboy.
The two large cogs continue straining against the wedged sword. Their teeth crumble away and the minute hand suddenly sweeps down around the clock face until it's pointing to six. Roy and Chom slide down the minute hand and strain with exertion as they desperately cling on to the end of it.
You got any ideas?
Chom looks down at the ground below and the Union Jack hanging beneath the clock face.
We jump!
Jump!
Roy looks down.
You mean fall? Aim for the flag.
Ah, shit.
I gotta tell you something.
What?
You're the best sidekick I could ever ask for.
Thank you, Roy. I feel the same about you. On three. One, two, three!
Roy and Chom let go of the minute hand. As they fall, they both grab onto the Union Jack, ripping off a strip which runs down the length of the flag. They stop as the ripping strip reaches the end of the flag and bounces them up a little before they lose their grips and fall the remaining 100 feet or so. They crash through the roof of the royal coach and find themselves in the plush velvet seating. Roy continues screaming with his eyes shut, and Chom gapes when he sees Queen Victoria facing them in the opposite seat.
Roy! Roy!
Roy stops screaming and Chom waves to Victoria.
Howdy.
In a stateroom, Chom, Roy and Artie kneel before Queen Victoria.
In recognition of outstanding bravery, I dub you Sir John Wayne.
She taps Chom on the shoulder with a sword, then moves across to Roy.
For uncommon valour, I dub you Sir Roy O'Bannon.
She taps Roy on the shoulder and he grins at Chom. Artie has his arm in a sling and his head bowed.
And for steadfast dedication to justice, I dub you Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
She taps Artie on the shoulder with the sword. He looks up at her and grins broadly.
Arise.
Smiling proudly, Chom, Roy and Artie stand and turn round to face the assembled dignitaries, who stand and break into applause. Lynn's on the front row and smiles at Chom. He winks back and she laughs. Chom leans over to Roy.
Who left you, baby?
Chom, Roy and Artie receive their applause. Outside Buckingham Palace, two groups of royal guards stand to attention. Chom carefully places the imperial seal back into its red-lined casket and turns to Lynn, who smiles at him. An attendant steps up to her.
Madam?
She goes and Roy strolls over.
Artie, I bet Scotland Yard's dying to get you back now.
My official crime fighting days are over. The Queen has asked me to accompany the Imperial Seal back to China.
What a week. Unbelievable. She couldn't have picked a better man, right, Sean?
He nods.
Yeah. And the voyage is going to give me time to work on my new novel. It features a new kind of detective, and it's going to solve crimes using deductive reasoning.
Give me a name. What's his name?
Actually, Roy, I was rather hoping to call him Sherlock Holmes, if that's all right with you.
Roy smiles.
I'd be insulted if you didn't use it.
Artie holds out his good arm and he, Chom and Roy embrace. He leaves with a special constable who carries the casket.
See you, Artie.
Roy shakes his head.
It was very nice of you, Roy.
Well, I would have kept the name if I thought it was any good. It's a horrible name for a detective. Sherlock Holmes? Holmes? Will you stop playing with that? I'm gonna smash.
No.
Roy grabs Chom's puzzle box.
You're gonna break it!
It's just a rock with some gibberish on it.
It's Chinese.
Chom reads.
Family is forever, my son. I'm proud you cast your own stone.
He smiles.
Wow, that's a good message.
Chon smiles emotionally and looks down at the small black stone. They look across at Lin, who stands by a carriage.
I'd like to cast my own stone, Chon.
He glances knowingly at Chon. Chon smiles wearily and nods towards Lin. Roy runs over to Lin at the carriage.
Hi.
Hi.
Roy holds out his hand and helps Lin into the carriage. He turns round to Chon.
Told you, the House of O'Bannon will prevail.
Roy grins and gets into the carriage. With a long-suffering expression, Chon gets in with them.
Chon, I got a business proposition for you.
No more Zeppelins.
No, this is much better than Zeppelins. A new thing they're starting out in California called moving pictures.
Pass.
Hold it. Hear me out. I really think these movies could play to your strength. There's no sounds. We don't have to worry about the language problem.
And I think the kung fu stuff could be huge. People are dying for a good action picture. What do you think?
John Wing, movie star?
It could work. I feel bad about ditching that Chaplin kid, but we're going to be running and gunning in Hollywood, and it just cramp our style. Such a tough town.
Charlie hides in a trunk in the back of the carriage. He wipes his nose, leaving a black smear on his top lip that looks like a little moustache. Workmen repair the smashed face of Big Ben, and the screen irises to black, leaving the clock face in the centre. ITFC audio description by Alan Blyton.
Bloody tourists!
Jackie Chan as Chon and Donnie Yen as Wu Chan film the scene where they're fighting on Wu Chan's barge. Donnie swings a pole to and fro and Jackie blocks the blows with his forearms. They carry on like this for a while until the fight peters out and Jackie dances around. Donnie laughs and Jackie leans over to the director.
You have to say cut! You just keep looking!
Jackie shakes his left arm.
Ouch!
Fan Wong as Lin licks the face of Owen Wilson as Roy.
Come here, you little minx.
That was good. That was a good one, huh?
Maybe on this one I should lick you. You think? Like after you lick me? That could be kind of good.
And Jackie.
Jackie. Thank you. Hi, Owen. Hello, how are you?
Okay. And I'm not Roy O'Bannon.
Who are you?
The Puss in Boots.
Damn it, John, I think she's the one. I know it's crazy, we just met, but she's the one.
No, Roy, she's my babysitter.
Owen closes his eyes.
Your babies?
What? Baby what?
Baby sister.
Baby sister.
Not babysitter, baby sister.
Jackie bursts in through the library door and pulls off the handle. Jackie rolls on Wu Chan's barge and throws a small barrel towards camera. He tenses in dread.
You okay?
During the market chase, Jackie jumps off the wall onto the tarpaulin. It tears and he falls through.
What happened? Roy is the type of a friend you never introduce to your other friend or bring him to your family. He's... Look at his eyes, brown, full of shit. Always... just bullshit all the time.
Yeah, have you ever heard of those? They're parents. We have parents that love us. You don't, because you're a little orphan. You don't. We've got parents. Yeah, parents. Have you ever heard of those? We've got parents that love us, but you don't, because you're a little orphan. Oh, go on. So mean.
In the carriage.
John Wayne, movie star.
It could work. It could work. You could do your own stunts.
On the barge, Jackie fumbles the life ring, and Donnie accidentally hits him with the pole. In the library, Jackie jumps onto a globe, which tips over. Jackie talks to Fido, the horse.
Stay here, be a good horsey for the new sheriff.
Ouch!
The horse bites him.
Ow, that hurt.
In the market chase, Jackie jumps onto the plank, which flips over his back, but hurts his arm. He tries to scramble up the plank to the tarpaulin, but skids back down again. On the barge, Donnie kicks the sliding trapdoor and Jackie falls off. He drops through into the hold.
You're supposed to catch me! Good, catch!
A sword is thrown to Owen, but he fumbles and drops it. Owen laughs and picks the sword up, and Jackie pops his head into the shot.
Jesus!
My fault.
Wait a second. This nut is killing your street women?
Owen looks at the shamefaced Jackie.
Who did that? Jackie Chan.
Me?
That's right.
Jackie stands and takes his mobile out of his pocket.
First time. The best take.
The stable.
Hurry up! Are you crazy? I can't do that. This isn't Chinatown. I can't sail through the air. I'm not going to break my neck.
Roy.
What in our history together makes you think I'm capable of something like that?
getting bigger.
There's gotta be a better way.
Roy! Jen, Roy!
My eyes are on fire.
Jackie waddles away from the flames behind him. Unit production manager Tom Karnowski. First assistant directors Scott Thaler, Chris Newman, UK, and Mirek Lux, Czechoslovakia. Second assistant directors Ben Howarth, UK, and Martin Sebik, Czechoslovakia. Second unit director EJ Forster. Second unit director of photography Harvey Harrison. Based on characters created by Alfred Goff and Miles Millar. Action choreography by Jackie Chan. Sean Wang, Jackie Chan. Roy O'Bannon, Owen Wilson. Charlie, Aaron Johnson. Artie Doyle, Thomas Fisher. Rathbone, Aidan Gillen. John Lin, Fan Wong. Wu Chan, Donnie Yen. Jack the Ripper, Oliver Cotton. Prostitute, Alison King. The Mayor, Constantine Gregory. Fagin Wan, Jonathan Harvey. Street Preacher, Richard Haas. Debutants, Anna Louise Plowman, Georgina Chapman. Server, John Owens. Master at Arms, Richard Bremer. Chun Wang's father, Kim S. Chan. Queen Victoria, Gemma Jones. Front Desk Clerk, Eric Myers. Cigarette Girl, Daisy Beaumont. Head Waiter, Stephen Fisher. Deputy, Matt Hill. Shotgun, Terry Howson. Waiter, Ryan James. Lord Chancellor, Barry Stanton. Fagin 2, Matthew Story. Lead Boxer, Liu, Tom Wu. Imperial Guard, Vincent Wang. Newspaper Boy, Charlie G. Hawkins. Rathbone Guard, Gerard Whelan, Rene Hayek. Palace Guards, Li Ho Han, Wei Van Hai. Old Man with Cane, Vladimir Hurebek. Old Couple Man, Jiri Modzis. Old Couple Woman, Marta Andrazova. Palace Guard with Rifle, David Listvan. Toothless Flower Girl, Petra Jezkova. Debutantes 3 and 4, Barbara Nedeljikova, Eva Rezika. Cleopatra Model, Hanka Skudlova. Harpist, Hanna Zhizova. Quartet, Tom Klar, Jan Petrik, Milodas Ketch, Carol Urban. Stunt Coordinators, Steve M. Davison, Jaroslav Paterka. Action Co-Choreographers, Ching Chi Lee, Bradley James Allen. Owen Wilson Stunt Double, Jimmy Roberts. Stunts, Jun Hei, Inseo Blee, Troy Robinson, Gang Wu, Paul Andriowski, Hyung Jin Park, Jung Jin Park, Heo Er Yu, Guan Hua Han, Sean Katz, Sean Robinson. Songs, Gangway Charlie, written by Leroy Shield, performed by the Bo Hunks. In My Canoe, written by Leroy Shield, performed by the Bo Hunks. The One I Love Best, written by Leroy Shield, performed by the Bo Hunks. Let's Go, written by Leroy Shield, performed by the Bo Hunks. England Swings, written by Roger Miller, performed by Roger Miller. Bread and Butter, written, produced and performed by Matter. Singing in the Rain, written by Nacho Herb Brown and Arthur Freed, produced and performed by Matter. Red Man, written, produced and performed by Matter. The Minuet from the Quintet in E, Third Movement, traditional by Luigi Boccherini. Arranged and performed by Tom Klar, Jan Petrik, Milolas Ketch, Carol Urban. Brandenburg Concerto No. 1 in F Major, traditional by Johann Sebastian Bach. Time of the Season, written by Rod Argent, performed by The Zombies. Magic Bus, The Who Matter Remix, written by Pete Townsend, performed by The Who, remixed by Matter. Chocolate Milk, written, produced and performed by Matter. Saloon Ragtime, written by Mark Ferrari and Don Great. One, written by Harry Nilsson, performed by Harry Nilsson. Winchester Cathedral, written by Jeff Stevens, performed by the New Vaudeville Band. Yeah Yeah, written by Rogers Grant, John Hendricks and Patrick Loardine, performed by Georgie Fame and the Blue Flames. My Generation, written by Pete Townsend, performed by The Who. All Day and All of the Night, written by Ray Davis, produced by Matter, performed by Jessica Harp. Hot Pasta, written, produced and performed by Matter. Soundtrack available on Hollywood Records. Copyright 2003 Spyglass Entertainment Group LP, all rights reserved. This motion picture was created by All Night Productions LLC for purposes of copyright law in the United Kingdom. Distributed by Buena Vista Pictures Distribution. A calm stretch of rippling water is reflected in the lens at the end of a telescope. A man stands on the water's edge and looks through the telescope, then darkens to a silhouette. The image shrinks to a smaller box against a black background. Spyglass Entertainment. A blue line passes along the bottom of a black screen. The line contracts to form a circle behind a streak of lightning. Touchstone Pictures.